Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steve and Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how to price your land offer campaign successfully.
More importantly, because it's the holidays, I would like to talk how to price holiday jewelry for your spouse.
This is a good question because I'm going back and forth on this.
Way more important than this dumb land thing.
You know what? I have a lot of questions about. I'm so glad you brought this up. Seriously. Jill and I keep these pre-topic discussions from each other, so that we try to keep it real.
Yes. Oh, so it's real. We can tell.
A lot of people in our group are doing, they had a pretty good year. And they have spouses. Like, is it expected? I've always wondered this. Like, if you spend $50,000 on jewelry, is that okay? If you spend $500, is that okay? If you spend $2,200, assuming that everybody in this group is going to get a reasonably good deal and not go into a mall and pay retail.
Okay. Number one, it should be relative to your situation. Please don't spend $50,000 on something to try to impress somebody and get them a Rolex, because that's just dumb. There are a lot of nice watches out there you can get for a couple thousand dollars if that's your game.
A couple thousand dollars. Now we're getting somewhere.
That's actually what I prefer. I wouldn't wear a Rolex if you gave me one, and I know you wouldn't either. We've had this discussion, so that's too much. $500 in Sears, not a fan. Even though you got a really good deal and it was, 90% off. I don't know.
This is a moving target landmine field. You have no idea how hard this is for men. Seriously.
Do. You should know your woman. How's that? Let's start with that.
No, I don't. Oh. I don't know my woman, and I've been with her for quite some time. And that's the truth.
You could ask your woman.
I have to say, you're like really easy to buy. You're very appreciative no matter what.
Yeah.
You find some slot for it in your head.
Right. Well, I like to think that we talk about it, and I leave clues. Well, not clues. I try to make it hit you in the face because every woman knows that if you leave clues around, they're not going to see them. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It could be taped on their side of the mirror. They're not going to see it.
It's absolutely true.
Yeah, with a circle and an arrow pointing to it, it still might get missed. I guess just ask. Yeah, that's
just
all.
Just ask. That's just what I ask. Think. I mean, unless you're really young and still haven't been, you haven't accepted reality yet, and you actually believe the person that you're with is going to buy you something that you want, and you still think that other person can read your mind, then this isn't the show for you. But anyway.
By the way, it goes both ways. I want to say, I even ask you. I flat out say, what do you want for Christmas? Because you are the opposite. Like, if I overspend or something that you don't think is really necessary, you're not happy about that.
Yeah, overspending really, that's actually makes me upset. I don't care what you buy me. I don't care anything about that at all. But overspending.
You like
bad.
Useful things.
Yeah.
You don't want a bunch of stuff.
I think $2,000 for jewelry is a lot, unless you're just financially done.
Right. That's true. For a couple hundred dollars, something really nice, some really nice diamond earrings. When in doubt, go very simple and basic, and you won't go wrong there. I don't know how this got into shopping by Jill, but
I still think it's just a minefield. Oh. And every guy's shaking their head yes right now who's listening to this.
Okay,
I shouldn't say guy.
Then let's move on.
It's just everybody.
Move on.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Josh asks, hi all. I wanted to get some opinions on a couple of things. I joined Land Academy a few years back and worked at it for almost 2 years. I completed almost 24 deals, but they were all the standard cheap desert properties. It doesn't seem like I was always breaking even on the deals since there wasn't much margin to begin with. Needless to say, I got burned out with that. Along with that, I haven't been able to do much with my land business for quite some time now with other things going on, job, etc. But I'm really looking to ramp things back up and get back into it. Currently, I have a .org as my domain, and I really feel like I should change this to a .com. Would anyone agree? Is it worth redoing my entire website, email, social media, etc., to make this change? Or should I just continue with what I currently have set up and move on? Just curious what your thoughts are. Also, with trying to gain some momentum on this, I only have a very small budget to get started, and I really don't want to chase the small, cheap desert properties like I did before. I don't want to get burned out on those again. I know there have been a lot of developments with Land Academy deal funding and such, which is awesome. So should I just focus on finding deals and partnering with someone on the financing portion of it? Or should I try to do some smaller deals to begin with and try to build some capital? Thoughts? I really want to get things going again with this business because I really see the value in it. I've proven to myself that it works, but I guess it can be a little overwhelming getting started again. I want to get off on the right foot. Any advice or suggestions would be greatly appreciated. How cool is this? This happens.
This is very very frequent in our groups.
Life gets in the way. You know there's something there. And that's what's so funny. We have members that have been in our group just like you, Josh, for some time. And they left. And then 6 months, maybe even a year later, here they come again.
Yep.
And they're like, I know there's something. I know this is right. It wasn't the education.
Yep.
It wasn't this. It wasn't that. It was me.
You had a job change or something. Didn't have
my
time.
My life got in the way. Right. Something happened with my family. And I it's never a bad thing because now they're inspired and fired up and determined, and now and they traditionally come in hot and kill it. So I would like to go through these questions, just briefly answer each one and tackle each one instead of as a whole. So I think you did a great job too, Josh, of explaining your backstory. Yeah. So that was awesome. So the first question I found is the .com/.org thing. I personally don't like .orgs. And I'll tell you, we did this too in the beginning. Landacademy.com was not free, but landacademy.org was. So people have been with us that long. Remember when we changed from landacademy.org to .com, it wasn't that hard and that wasn't big of a deal. And for us, it made more sense for this business model, because I don't want them thinking that this education is nonprofit. And that's what people kept doing.
Here's what we didn't change, our brand. Right. We just changed a .com to a .org. You don't want to go.
It was still Land
that.
Academy.
That's a big, huge. If you change the actual name and then slap a .com on it, you're going to change your whole brand and all that.
Right.
So that's going to be your call. If it's like more than 8 characters as a .org or a .com, I would consider making some changes. You really want the shortest .com you can get.
Right.
Hopefully 2 syllables.
Hopefully it was like joshland.org.
Yeah,
like and now
that.
It can be joshland.com.
Yeah, you might have to buy
and
it.
And you can, and you might have to spend some money to get it, whatever it is.
I will tell you this really quickly, and I know Jill's trying to move to this. This whole notion of having the sell side website and all this other stuff is becoming less and less and less important for some reason. You do have to have a strong internet presence in social media and a strong presence when you send mail out, so they can look you up and see you've got followers and you've got you know, a website that doesn't have to be complicated at all. You don't have to sell anything on it.
Right.
It just has to be a reference. You need to look good on the internet when they look you up, because they're going to spend 5 minutes doing it and that's it.
Thank you. His other thing is, okay, do I start out with it? And you're not alone in that. A lot of people with the cheap desert properties, I don't want to chase those cheap small desert properties like I did before and get burnout. And I agree. I wouldn't want you doing that too. And one of the things that we are reminding again, last thing I want to do is nag. Those are just meant to be a reference in our program. We really don't want you to do that, but just giving you some examples
of what's possible
out there. I would rather you do these deals in, you know, a whole different part of the country or state or region, something that you know better. A lot of people came in doing the desert properties based on what we knew, which, great, we proved that. But you need to apply that to the area that you know and use it with your thoughts. And then I want you to come in and price them accordingly. What if you're doing it somewhere in Georgia where the best properties are buy for $10,000, sell for $30,000. You don't have that money, but you know that area so well, you know it's possible. I would rather you put your money, invest in that data, invest in those mailers, get those deals, and then do some deal funding.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Thank you, because you know those.
By the way, we're not the only deal funders out there. There's tons and tons and tons of deal funders.
Yep.
Tons of people with money in our group. All over landinvestors.com or Land Tank or House Tank.
I'm hearing every week on our Thursday member calls, by the way, that, gosh, Every time or someone puts a deal in Land Tank for funding, it's gobbled up so quick.
Yeah.
Yep, they are. So don't worry, Josh. There's people out there to help you with this. And you already have some experience coming in. I would feel good working with you.
Land Tank is the first place I would put it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Regardless of where you are in your career and regardless of the amount, there are people staring at Land Tank waiting for submissions.
And it is a great way to build some capital. Instead of doing, you know, buy for one, sell for five, you know, buy for 10, sell for 30.
Right.
You're going to get there faster. And see, the last thing is, I think that's kind of covered it. You know, do you have any other suggestions or advice?
What I would do is, you obviously know what you're doing and you've cut your teeth. You've done 10 deals. Like Jill always says, get 10 deals under your belt. See if this is for you. You're past all that. And you're not, this isn't unusual and it's not bad. You got some deal. You found out it was for you. You did, got some deals under your belt, and now you're trying to figure out what to specialize in. And you see it for whatever reason it makes sense to you to do bigger deals and get them funded. So just follow through. You have what it takes to follow through on the desert property. It's the exact same thing with bigger properties. It's just a larger dollar amount.
And as the inspiration side of all this too, kudos to you for figuring this out. Yeah. That you know what was in your way before was you. And yeah. I'm sure you're going to make all the changes. I'm sure you're going to hold yourself accountable. I'm sure you're going to stick to a schedule. I'm sure you're going to like power through. You know what has to happen. You did it before. Now you know you just got to really up your game, and you'll do great. Please keep us posted.
We have both. We have both side-by-side desert operations and large transaction operations and newly have multi-million dollar operations. So I feel very qualified to talk about this. We buy properties for $100 an acre or about $500 a lot, $400 or $500 a lot in the desert, and we sell them for $200 or $300 an acre or about $1,000. We double our money over like 30, 40, 50 properties a month, very successfully. We have one guy managing it for us. I've trained him and he does a great job. And that we kind of put that on the shelf and take the money out of it when we need to. The other stuff, you know, and I would, honestly, I think I would recommend to you that maybe you continue down that path if you can double your money on it. Get somebody involved where you can just let it run itself and then it funds the other bigger stuff. So the bigger stuff you're gonna is more like buy for 25 or 30 and sell for 75 or 80. And you're only gonna do one or two deals a month like that until you can really pick up some capital and some resources, because it begins to be a lot of work. It becomes a non-part-time thing. And then the bigger deals will come.
Perfect.
Today's topic, how to price your land offer campaign. This is the meat of the show. Yesterday, it was all about houses and how to price your campaign. Today, it's all about land. The two and the steps are very, very similar. What makes them not identical is the geography that you choose to send mail to. With houses, it's zip codes. With land, rural vacant land anyway, it's counties. And pricing. Those are the two different things. All the other steps are the same. So how do you pick a good county? By looking and eyeballing and research on sites like Redfin, Realtor.com, LandWatch, and Land and Farm. And what you're trying to do there is establish a range price per acre for for sale property. And so let's say you go on all these sites, do a bunch of research, and you determine that the properties that are available for sale in the, let's say, the 5 to 10 acre range, because you determine that's what you want, are $250 an acre. And that's like, now you're 90% of the way there if you can figure out what that number is. Once you decide that that's the number, you can build an offer, get the data, pull all the data down just like we talked about yesterday, scrub the stuff out like we talk about in all of our education programs, take out hospitals and the silly stuff, properties with improvements on them, and get a real good data set is my point, a land data set for those acreage, that acreage slot. You've determined that they're for sale for $250, and you want to send an $250 an acre, you want to send an offer campaign out that's obviously below that, and do some math on it to see how you can double your money. You know, is it $100 an acre to sell for $250, $125-ish, some number like that, and run a bunch of tests. Take a look at your data set once you've all priced it, and see if you actually, you know, take 20 of them out of your data set, and if you actually buy them for that number, somebody signs a purchase agreement and sends it back and you buy it, can you sell it for what you think you can sell it for? Are you still at the bottom of the market out there? So pricing land is a little bit more nebulous, and there's a little bit more art to it than houses. Houses is really just all math. But it really, really can pay off. What's different about houses and land is that you can hit a home run on land. We do all the time. With houses, you're hitting a lot of singles. Maybe you hit a double once in a while, but a lot of singles.
That's what I was going to say with land. It's so interesting. Even right now, if you go look on LandWatch, you'll find, you know, some areas, it's like all over the place, you know, what they're pricing things for. You can really, like what you just said, you can really find more amazing deals with land than houses. And I just, with houses, there's just so much more information. I think that's a lot of it. I don't think it's that people don't know.
That's it, Joe.
I think there's just more information available. Data. A lot of land transactions are bundled up in multiple deals. And so there's not good comps out there. So people don't even really know what it's worth. But we do. that's the value. We know how to get through those. We know how to read through that. We know how to download that and figure out a really good offer price and get them out there. And the person reading it, they don't know what that sold for, or that sold for, or this sold for. Maybe nothing's really sold, you know, that they know of, if that makes sense. Sure. So getting an offer, and all they know is what they paid for it and what they want to get out of it. That's usually it. And usually, too, it comes back to the whole situation thing. What they want to get out of it is to stop paying the taxes on it because they're not using it.
Yeah.
And that's, they're not living in it. They're not loving it. It's not mom's house. They're not trying to maximize price. They're trying to be done with it. So that's a whole other driving force that makes this so much more fun and easier. I just love land. At the end of the day, I love it. I love it more than houses.
The takeaway, I really do. The takeaway is this. Yes, so do I. The takeaway is this. You have to come up with a number of that price per acre for for sale property in that county, and then work your way backwards from there. That's the whole way to price a successful land offer campaign. And I will leave you with this thought. Very, very, very often, almost always actually, pricing the whole entire county at one price per acre amount it'll work, but it's not going to be as effective as breaking up the county. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. If you think about it, every county's got a real urban area or multiple urban areas in it, really rural areas, maybe some agricultural areas, maybe some industrial areas. That's what a master plan is, you know, that's what a civil engineer does. They plan these things out. So once you do a few deals, you would do yourself a huge service to isolate these pockets or these sections of any given county and price it a little bit differently. This is just a 101 overview.
And then within that too, not just the pockets, but the sizes.
Yeah,
which exactly. Makes me think of what our thing, that I just remembered too. We have a contest going on right now. It's gonna be really cool. We gave everybody on our Thursday member call. So those of you who are members, you know about this contest going on right now. So Stephen picked a county and gave an exercise and said, I want everybody to price, you know, up to 1 acre and price 1 to 5 acres. And I think it was like 5 to 10 and then 20 to 40. And then he's going to do his pricing thing. It's going to be a contest to see how close everybody comes to his pricing. And then there's a prize. It's going to be fun.
And somebody's going to, I almost can guarantee somebody's going to have better information and more accurate reasons why the price is the price over mine.
We'll see.
I want to see.
It's going to be cool. Yeah. I'm excited. Happy you could join us today. Remember, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you can find us right here on the Land Academy Show. And on Tuesdays and Thursdays, don't worry, we're still here, but we're over on the House Academy Show.
Next week, join us on the Land Academy Show on Monday for another interesting episode. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, Jill. Thanks. Happy holidays.
Thank you. I'm going to go shopping now. The Land Academy Show remains commercial-free for you, our loyal listener. So wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening, please subscribe and rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.